I'm Lina Mirmont. I have exceptional privilege to have a guest who truly made a difference in not only in his book, but in his tremendous moral standards, honesty, and promise, indeed, for us to get clarity, intellectual honesty, and face major issues in our life. He wrote the book which called What Were You Thinking?, which dedicated to issues of marriage and divorce. I personally will be a bit presumptuous, and I would say that this book is breaking borders, just those subjects. It is open and incredibly critically important information for anyone who needs to make some kind of decision which will be terribly important and deeply indicated that that decision will change their life forever. I will invite to our discussion, and with my deep gratitude, Mark Berendez, who is the author, tremendous thinker, honest human being, and facing challenges of the profession which we'll call the law of humanity. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Lena. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And I will immediately ask you, what is the source of such a brave and ultimately uncompromising writing where you placed the most critically important, sometimes very painful, but very descriptive examples of human behavior? Where did you find this tremendous energy and power of your intellect to express?
Well, I don't know that I so much found the power of any intellect. It was just a combination and a recitation, if you will, of many years of experience in dealing with people going through the issues of marriage and divorce, the challenges that were unique to it, how people reacted to it, and then after examining those particular issues, trying to offer some sort of a candid picture as far as what people might be able to do in order to minimize their exposure to these various difficulties.
I like just to describe a little bit my personal impression. As I mentioned to you, I wrote this book two times. As I said, one in one breath. And I'm not such a fast reader, but that was a very long, maybe one of the longest breaths I had in my life to read this book. And another one, I was catching my breath where I was stopping, thinking, analyzing, and then was trying to make a evolution in my own mind. Of course, we all try to find personal corners in your book, and unfortunately, statistic of divorces is such that I cannot imagine a better time and better relevant factual information which you so generously, with such patience, expressed in your book. The aesthetic of the book is fantastic. You have this wonderful pictures, tremendous sense of humor. You do have some examples of well-known people and their very sincere sharing regarding their human experiences. And it's not question right or wrong or good or bad. It's much more profound. It's a philosophical proportion between the human law and human nature. So I guess my second question would be, how one can mature and prepare herself or himself to face the balance between human nature and human law?
Well, it's a very good question, and I think it is really a matter of going through life judging the experiences you have had, learning from the experience, and then hopefully making better decisions as you move along. I think it's sort of amusing to me that one of the first chapters, I believe it's even in the first chapter of the book, where I invited various friends to make contributions to the book, there was a gentleman by the name of Gene Simmons. And Mr. Simmons of the famous rock group Kiss offered a complete essay as to why he would never get married. Yet we see in the last week, I believe it was, he in fact did get married after a wild, rather wild life that he's had in terms of women and loving and things of that nature. So I think all of us grow and develop, and we determine what direction we'll go in from those experiences.
We're going to have this a bit of a kaleidoscopic conversation where we will go to some specific examples, just making a link from the example which you just made and have a parallel with a totally opposite human experiences. For example, like a Larry King, who indeed exhibit his preference to emphasize only his heart voice, his instinctive, loving, loving spontaneous emotions, and he felt that brain power somewhat much more subdued. And I believe he was married quite a few times.
Yes. Larry King is a man in love with marriage.
In love with marriage, and yes, and I do not want to sound like a pop culture addict, but just to be interested in human nature, I was quite impressed that even after numerous marriages, he's still propagating his idea of emotion being so much overpowering his man intellectual power. So this is one way of seeing things. You, however, making a tremendously interesting point about man's psychology. You've been brave enough and say that men don't have much of a common sense. And also you are analyzing and saying that even though from ancient times man was a leader, was a powerhouse, but when it comes to personal life, the leadership they indeed see in their wives. Even though rightfully so, you mentioned that there are some great leaders in the female world, as I say, like Golda Meir and some other political leaders. So what indeed prompts you to come to such an honest but a bit of a sad conclusion that men don't have much of a common sense?
Well, I would tell you the easiest answer would be that my wife tells me that on a daily basis. It's a matter that when we go through life in terms of our work experience and our professional experience, we always wear a different hat. We're conveying a different image, a different persona. And then when people are at home usually, they revert to themselves. And when you revert to yourself, oftentimes you don't make the best of decisions because you're not as guarded and as cautious as you might be in other environments. So I think it's part of our genetic makeup, who we are. I think that women just have, from whatever the greater force may be, a greater ability and sense to apprise situations and to deal with personal things than men do.
I like to make a little bridge after a couple of other thoughts to actual reality of divorce and some situations in the courtroom and some decisions how to find a properly appreciated situation, a lawyer, and all these very intricate and quite difficult challenges which a divorce situation takes place in every individual case. But before that, I just wanted to comment on what you just said. The old-fashioned but maybe golden tradition of castle, I would call castle as a home, when men indeed looking forward to come back home after facing those difficult situations during the time of his work, as you just commented on, I also believe that it is perhaps a little bit more complex. I believe that perhaps men do have common sense, but it's more in their professional business life, and the women have more of a common sense in their everyday life as a woman, as a mother, and as a wife. So I would not degrade men and narrow their abilities the way perhaps you see it, but I would say that it will be that much more desirable for a modern woman to start looking back and to see what makes man's life comfortable, what makes him come back not only to her, but to this home where even though complexity can take place with the children and some other members of the family, but also he can find this rejuvenation of his power as a man, not only in a sex way, but as a man, as a powerhouse with his intellect. So the question, my next question is, do you believe that modern society is somewhat lacking of women's tradition, which needs to be more comforting and more understanding towards men?
No, I really don't, because I think that for the most part, women are incredibly, and we're grossly generalizing here. You know, each one of us acts our own individual way, and it's hard to say that what rule applies for one applies to all. But in my experience, I think, you know, women are the master of their own universe, and that universe is inclusive of the family. And women know how to deal with men, to negotiate with men, to negotiate with the family in order to hopefully benefit that entire unit, the family unit, and hence benefiting the family unit, benefiting society as well. So I don't place any sort of a general rule that men are better or that women are better. I think that we all contribute in our own ways, and if you take the very essence that we're trying to improve and to have a better life, then there's no manner or no method for us to critique or to categorize or catalog our individual human behavior.
One of the number of very philosophical expressions I took to my heart, Oscar Wilde said that the pure and simple truth is rarely pure and never simple. I think this answer which you just gave me certainly expresses the complexity and gives a different understanding of role woman and a man. I like to take this family issue to the divorce court. Your book is, if not overly emphasizing the reality of the divorce tragedy, but it certainly makes one incredibly aware what to face before you will make such irreversible decision. What makes it so incredibly difficult, especially for children and basically the rest of the family. You are giving a very honest, I would say picturesque description of different situations, tremendous bravery, and a tremendous objectivity. How would you make a character of certain people who are suddenly becoming chameleons, or they becoming somewhat extremely powerful? What would be your recommendation on a personal level to, doesn't matter, man or woman, for preparation to face such an incredible traumatic experience as a divorce?
Well, unfortunately, there's very little to prepare in terms of emotionally, because it is such a horrendous, horrific experience to go through. You can only try and obtain as much information that you possibly can concerning what the process is, what you'll be going through. Is it normal to feel this way, or is it normal to feel that way? And I put the word normal in quotation marks, because for each one of us, that experience is extremely different. Our individual levels of tolerance for pain, for deception, for all of the things that can be involved in a divorce is different. So the best advice that I can give is to become as educated as you possibly can about the process, and to make sure that you have someone on your side in terms of an advocate, that you have people on your side in terms of your family that you can rely upon, so that you have both the emotional and the legal support that you'll need to endure the process.
You are making a very helpful description of step-by-step process to find the proper lawyer. In fact, it is so incredibly helpful because some people totally disoriented. The shock and the pressure is unmeasurable, and you do give very structural, clear advice. In fact, I wanted to tell you that your language, even though sophisticated but very human, I do not want to say it's easy to understand, but it's very sincere and it's very engaging. So I just wanted to thank you, and thankfully I do not need to face a divorce, but if I would, I would be very well prepared after reading your book.
Well, that was the concept behind the book, was that people would have their eyes opened, if you will, not only at the point that it is too late, and when I say the point that it's too late, meaning the issue of the divorce, but also before entering into the relationship in the first place, that would put you in a position where you might need a divorce.
I like to take a little avenue away from immediate aspects of your book, and at the same time to emphasize how important and how relevant this book is. We're dealing with a tremendous impact of media. All these programs which manifest this glamour of physical contact, where sex is the first, the most prime decision for people be together, live together, and eventually get into the marriage. The program like a Bachelor, needless to say, all these dating sites, they all encourage this very quick and quite superficial decision to be together and to satisfy each other's needs, which often, as I mentioned before, will be misled and will be totally totally disorienting the couple, especially young people. And that's what I my question is. For young people, I know that you recommended no marriage before age 25. You did make some other recommendations. In fact, book is so beautifully structured that you have some advice sections, and you have certain provisions which especially young people should listen to, read to, and follow through. I feel that there is a tremendous message from the outside world which disregard this responsible, thorough, and honest decision. In fact, I feel that this book should be somewhat orchestrated to the, I hate to say talk show, but certainly should go way beyond the border just to be a book. Speaking about this, what would be your immediate thought, how to balance this huge media impact on a young brain and yet make them aware that there is certain irreversible decisions they will be making if they indeed will become intimate and eventually will become married?
Well, it's, you know, the shows, the programs that you're talking about are sensationalist. They're designed to appeal to a certain type of viewer that like the salacious types of activities, the promiscuity, the things of that nature. I think that while certainly there are many people that receive impressions as a result of that, more and more people understand the consequence and the importance of a decision to, for instance, enter into a marriage or to proceed with a divorce. It's not a stranger in the home right now anymore. It used to be when I was growing up many years ago, it was like if one of the kids in the class that their parent was going through a divorce, there was something different about them. Now, it's the exact opposite. If your parent's not going through a divorce, it's like you're different. Your parents have really been married for 35 years? Really? People aren't used to that. So I think the whole societal impression has changed and been modified. And I think people do understand that there is tremendous implications associated with taking the steps to enter into a marital relationship or to end that relationship. That's not to say that some people won't be stupid and that that celebrities in and of themselves appear to make those decisions more often. The reason that they do appear to make those decisions more often is because they're in the news more often. It's not the case of Mr. and Mrs. Smith down the street who is having the exact same problems. Their problem doesn't get publicized. If you are Larry King, that gets publicized.
I thank you so much for clarifying this almost two different camp of approach towards life, and it is incredibly important to segregate this concept and that real vision of life. I need to tell my listeners that I have true privilege, and I'm not tired to repeat this, to have an interview with a great thinker of our times, great lawyer with his integrity, his own place in the world. His name is Mark Barrandes. I will continue my conversation with him for remaining time. And I just wanted to add to my introduction in the beginning that this gentleman has a celebrity title, and it is very rare where celebrity title indeed fully exhibit quality and fully exhibit the quality of his integrity as a lawyer, as an individual, and absolutely as a human thinker. I need to say that his name is associated with well-known celebrities as Larry King, we did talk about, Montel Williams, Donald Trump joined his words regarding the book, and many others whose life indeed being described in the book. Certainly, Robert Shapiro and his 35 marriage would be very impressive, especially because his law practice faced so many life situations, and that gives a promise that marriage is still has its sacred grounds, that marriage is still can be alive and can be nurtured if it is done with the wisdom, true love, and honesty. My next question to Mark will be in terms of the law which was 20 years ago and the modern society makes a somewhat challenge to follow the laws. How is your life in the courtroom these days, and where do you stand with the following the laws?
You're talking about in terms of who following the law?
Of the as a lawyer, when you have a divorce, the divorce which would take place 20 years ago, and modern divorce with so many complexity of the modern world, these laws changing their interpretation, or they stay the same?
Well, the law does change as time goes by. People are more susceptible to accepting more behavior. 30 years ago, adultery was a big deal. Today, adultery is not a big deal at all. And that's a shame because to the people that are going through it, it's an awful big deal. but because of the amount of the influx of cases, the amount of issues that have to be dealt with, it's almost as if the courts say, look, you deal with that issue, we'll take care of the kids and we'll take care of the property matters, but we don't want to get into a discussion about whose fault, who caused this, why are we actually there? And I think that it's efficient in one respect, but on the other hand, it does end up hurting the party that is not responsible for the breakdown of the relationship. There's also the whole issue in terms of lawyers themselves, how civil they are, how well they behave in court, things that they're willing to do now to represent a client that previously would have basically been unheard of. So we have to always keep our ethics in check, that the behavior on the part of the lawyers, not only themselves, but in advising their clients, stays in line.
You made a tremendous, huge points of finding a good professional, diligent lawyer. In fact, frankly, I was shaking a little bit myself because when I was reading about poor qualification of the lawyers, that they, even though they go to the bar examination, but that depends which part of the country this bar examination taking place. So the qualification of the lawyer is critically important, and to find a good one is a challenge. You do recommend a certain concrete steps to go actually in courthouse, and you made a fantastic parallel. You call it a proctology law, and I'm not going to scare listeners and tell them exactly what you exactly meant, but it was very descriptive, which channeling everybody's thinking, how scrupulous and how very important the process is to find a competent lawyer with whom you can feel, in one sense, easy to talk to, but also you need to trust. I certainly will appreciate the fact that this book would be in the hands of everyone. As I mentioned, it's not just about the divorce or marriage. It's about thinking. It's about taking responsibilities about your own life. Many decisions I would apply to adoption for children because principles are the same. You're dealing with a human life and you making a tremendous decision for yourself and for the young soul. In the remaining few moments, I just wanted to not only to thank you again, but to thank your parents. You mentioned that they are deaf, and yet their marriage is so incredibly profoundly lengthy and happy marriage, and they gave you a wonderful principle, one of which that you never discredit your honesty or something close to that. So I wanted to thank you, your parents, who gave you this foundation, which helped you to merge this with the law profession in the highest standard. So my last question would be, if take away your professional duty, what is the most precious personal quality you would admire in another person?
That's an excellent question. It makes you go into the innards of your soul to think what is the most important quality that all of us wish that we had. I would say at the forefront would be integrity, loyalty, and probably more than anything else, forgiveness. Because each one of us, we all make mistakes. We sometimes make mistakes when we get married, sometimes when we get a divorce. But all in all, if we can't learn to live with each other and to acknowledge that we are human and we do make mistakes, then what is it that we have in the end? We can all be judgmental of one another. You shouldn't have done this. You should have done that. But in the end, you made a mistake. And if you make a mistake, you hope that you learn from that and that you will be forgiven. So I would say forgiveness would probably be one of the greatest qualities.
Thank you again. even though this thing sounds a little redundant, I, however, have a joy to repeat this again. That was my very memorable program with Mark Barrandes, who made a tremendous statement in everybody's life who will read his book, What Were You Thinking? And I would modestly add, what you are doing after you are thinking. Mark, thank you so much.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be your guest.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And I will continue on my post thoughts regarding some human issues and some post ideas regarding the interview which we just had with Mark Barrandes, who wrote the book, What Were You Thinking? And as I said after this, what are you doing after you are thinking? We will have a little music moment, and then Lena Life will be continuing with my thoughts. Lena Life, I just had extraordinarily gifted person as my guest, tremendous privilege. His name is Mark Barrandes, and his book, What Were You Thinking, attracted attention of many different layers of population, from celebrity to people who are facing major challenges in their life. One of which is a divorce, and it was quite revealing when Mr. Barrandes said that statistic of divorce is so tremendously high that among young people, children and teenagers, it is almost common to have divorced parents, and it is rare to have parents who've been living together for 30, 35 years. To say that it is very sad is quite an understatement. It is particularly almost troublesome, and it is very challenging to face this statistic, because we're living in such a complex world. We're faced with issues which are making other issues more complicated. It's almost like a Christmas tree. We are having so many issues, which not only faced with the finance economy, but we have those internal, emotional, intellectual issues. It is not any more secret that most people are quite scared. And they're scared not because they are not able to give performance or be active in life. It's just because they're disoriented. It's because there is no much of a balance between government message, official message, and their own personal connection to that message. We certainly faced historic changes. It's all well known. But the media sometimes is not as detailed, not as discriminating as it should be. We are so overwhelmed with what's going on around ourselves that we don't have enough patience or interest to stretch our imagination, or sometimes to get into the foreign magazine or newspaper and to see what kind of issues the other parts of the world are having. Yes, we are aware of the fact that we economically in a quite stressful situation. We are bombarded by the fact that stock market is fluctuating just like our emotions are. We're also very aware of the fact that economy is having its cavities around the world, but we are not quite aware how people in a different part of the world going through those difficulties, what are the issues are, and how they're proposing to cope with these issues. I believe that if we will be more in tune with our cultural differences, we will be able to learn much quicker and we will be somewhat more efficient towards our own emotions. But we just don't do this enough. It is said that America is well known not only with its free democracy, but it's also is a multicultural society. There were more of an antagonistic expression of it rather than peaceful interaction. We unfortunately facing some standard delivery from the media. It is not enough diversified given our own placement, our own emotional vision. And therefore, we're constantly struggling that in one way we're different, but in another way we have to conform to all this thinking and all this immediate adjustment to everyday changing problems. So it's constantly like being on the ice. There is a Eastern proverb which says, I feel somewhat very uncomfortable, achy, and unstable. I feel like a cow on the ice. Well, maybe it's not so bad because if cows still can slide on four legs, somehow he or she still can remain its own vertical position. But sometimes we are facing when we are losing this one leg, and then it's getting that much harder to remain balanced in one leg. So as a human nature, I believe that we need to get some self-searching, which Mr. Barandes just shared with us. And my last question was to him relating to his own personal vision of personal qualities. And the reason I asked that question, because somehow many people losing that feeling of self-worth. They are managing, but they are not really empowered with this drive. Because the answer is very simple. Why? Jobs are hard to find. Education is terribly difficult to pay for. There is a minimum layers of societal progress was greatly deprived. So indeed, the picture is quite grim. Picture is quite difficult. So where is the answer? And I would say perhaps we should not look for the answer right away. We just should not try to lose sense of a process. It's not playing with words, because philosophically, process and result really connected to each other. If I face the fact that I am not afraid, for example, to go on the cold with a lighter layer of clothes, and I'm facing this colder temperature with more of a resistance, that I built a little bit my vessel system and that I can sustain this cold temperature better than I did yesterday. This is a progress. This is a process. And this is a fantastic result. But we are not enough sensitive to our own senses. We are looking for much, much more. And in a sense, it's natural, because the more of the struggle, the more of the sense of disparity, the more of a craving for this quick result, to get this quick release. And that's where, again, the book of Mr. Barrandes is so, so valuable, because indeed he's talking about the process. He's talking about facing yourself before you're making a major decision. And a marriage is a making decisions process. But the thing is that we simplify that. We think that if marriage doesn't work, we will get divorced just as easily. But indeed, the book opens another book. It's opened the book of our soul. It's opened the book of our heart. And it creates a connection between our heart, soul, and our minds. So I would urge absolutely everyone to read this book and make it as almost like a soulful guidance, because the details in this book are so carefully given, with such uncompromising honesty, with such noble facing of pain, that one becomes at home with his or her own decisions, his or her own pains, and his and her own challenges. We will take a little break with your thoughts, and we will return to some of my other ideas after another piece of music. And I'd like to make a few comments about Mr. Barrandes' book. I mentioned the name, What Were You Thinking? I'd like to make a comment about the cover of this book, which is quite intriguing, because in the middle of the title, there is a picture which, frankly, not very clearly definable at the first moment, but then you can see that it is indeed wedding cake which slightly spilled over. And that immediate philosophical preparation and my personal take of somewhat a first idea, what is this book all about? That it is not going to be only happy, bright, and lovely thoughts regarding the wedding, regarding the marriage, regarding the union of two people. I must say that the wisdom of this book is very transparent and yet extremely profound. The examples are so real that you feel that you are present yourself in a courtroom, that you do speak to these people regardless whether you agree with their position or not. In fact, points which Mr. Berendes made are very clearly defined where there is a role of woman, where is the role of man, and how lawyer's role should connect in a courtroom those two roles. And where there is success or failure as a result of the divorce, how those complicated issues can be resolved based on very honest and indeed strong integrity of the lawyer. Mr. Berendes, with the bravery which I mentioned during my interview with him, was quite categorically defined and descriptive, giving different situations with a lawyer's performance. He did not get modest by criticizing lawyers at large. He indeed made a huge point that there are more bad lawyers than the good ones. That gave me a little bit of a chills, because we all felt that lawyers supposedly a respectable profession, at least half and half. But you give such a sign, such a warning, such a red flag to this category was a discovery for myself. And I certainly would also bring another point, that the lawyer becomes not only as a lawyer, but in a sense it becomes a therapist, it becomes somewhat a, in a sense, medical practitioner, because the anxiety level becomes so high that one would need to get to some medical tranquilizers. So we are talking about quite complex intertwined issues where this divorce process becoming very monumental for each individual in its each individual rights. And of course, children. It is a great subject of several chapters and technical alimony issue, the technicality of parents' individual rights and responsibilities. Mr. Berendes describes sometimes very cruel and totally off-limit behavior on the part of the parents who are trying to achieve their custody, and some of them even come to the crime scene. So the emotional charge and almost an emotional war field becomes so strong and so vividly unavoidable that one can feel that it is almost unavoidable to face those issues before entering this battlefield. It is critically important to read this book, because it is a total panoramic view of what can happen, of what cannot happen, and what should and should not happen. I will take another break, and then I will make my conclusive thoughts about us, about our world, and how we can try to relate with our hopes and our strengths to our modern world.
Thank you.
This is Lina Live. I'm Lina Mirmont, and I'm continuing my post thoughts after having an interview with the distinguished lawyer Mark Barrandes, who wrote his book, which called What Were You Thinking? I'd like to conclude this program with one quotation from the book, which Mr. Barrandes expressed speaking about human nature. He wrote that human nature is described at the psychological and social qualities that characterize humankind, especially in contrast with other living creatures. I'd like to conclude and to express this thought of mine, which I hope will link to the thought I just read from the book of Mark Barrandes, What Were You Thinking? That we indeed have a multifunction as a human beings, and this multifunction is vary depending on our cultural roots, depending on the challenges of the modern world. I hope that we still preserve our multifunction power. And if one aspect gets a little weaker, we can pick up in another aspect. Life, as we know, not fair, but we are still privileged to be alive. And as common this thought is, it's becoming somewhat a bit more challenging today and perhaps tomorrow. My hope, however, is that with the joint effort of our complex individual worlds, we will be able to handle our mutual world. On this note, with my thoughts, that was Lina Live, with my best wishes for all of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you to BBS, who again helped us all to meet Mark Barrandes, an outstanding lawyer, thinker, human being, who gave us a tremendous gift in writing his book, What Were You Thinking? Until next time, Lina Live. I'm Lina Mirmont.